Hi, good afternoon. I'm Amanda Faulkner, and I'm a surveillance coordinator. I'm in the meningitis and vaccine preventable diseases branch at CDC. And this afternoon, I'm going to be presenting national pertussis surveillance data with an emphasis on regional epidemiologic trends. Pertussis is a respiratory illness caused by the bacterium Bordetella pertussis. And although it is vaccine preventable and childhood vaccination coverage rates are high, pertussis continues to be poorly controlled in the United States. Reports of disease tend to peak every 3 to 5 years, and while this cyclic trend is seen nationwide, individual states and geographic regions may experience increases and decreases in disease at different times. Pertussis does hit infants hardest, especially those who are too young to be vaccinated, and adults and older children are often reservoirs for disease. So unless you've been living under a rock, you're aware that the last couple of years have been active ones for pertussis. In 2009, we heard whispers that pertussis cases were increasing in several states. And then in June 2010, California declared a statewide pertussis epidemic. And for months after, we were bombarded with media reports of increases in disease. And during this time, CDC was frequently contacted with questions about the California epidemic, as well as questions pertaining to the national picture of pertussis. The objective of my presentation is to describe pertussis disease by geographic region in the United States between January 2009 and December 2010. And we'll look at age-specific incidence, infants case fatality, the proportion of outbreak-associated cases as well. And we'll then look at some of the challenges associated with national surveillance data. And finally, I'd like to explore some ways in which we all might be able to improve the quality of national pertussis surveillance data. Pertussis first became a notifiable disease in the United States in 1922, and more complete case-based data collection began in 1979. Today's surveillance system, which is known as the National Notifiable Disease Surveillance System, or NNDSS, has the capacity to electronically capture disease reports in disease from all 50 states. NNDSS is a passive surveillance system, which means that state and local health departments do not regularly contact labs and healthcare facilities to solicit pertussis cases. Cases are instead voluntarily reported to the state and then passed along to CDC. And the national surveillance form collects core variables, which include mostly demographic information, as well as extended variables, including clinical presentation, medical complications, vaccination history, and epidemiologic information. The CST case definition for pertussis states that a clinical case of pertussis is defined as any person with a cough of at least 2 weeks, plus at least one classic pertussis symptom. And individuals are then either classified as probable or confirmed, which is based on epidemiologic and laboratory information. The CST case definition for pertussis plays a significant role in how we interpret pertussis surveillance data. So we analyzed pertussis reports received through NNDSS from January 2009 through December 2010. The 2009 case data has been finalized at CDC and will not change, while 2010 case data is still provisional and continues to be open for modification by states. The data I reviewed for 2010 only includes cases that were received as of December 31st of last year. And our analysis included confirmed, probable, and unknown cases based on state-assigned case classifications. And to assess geographic trends in disease, the states were divided by the 9 standard geographic regions used by MMWR. So this map illustrates the 9 MMWR geographic reporting regions used in our analysis. And in addition to being the regions reported in the MMWR weekly reports, these regions also match the delineations used by the Census Bureau to describe regional population estimates. 2-year cumulative incidence was calculated for each region using cases reported in 2009 and 2010 as the numerator, and 2009 census population estimates were used as my denominators. And all of the maps presented will show incidence ranges, which were defined by quartiles. And age-specific incidence was analyzed using the following 7 age groups. Infant case fatality rates and the proportion of outbreak-related cases were assessed by region as well. And infant CFRs were calculated by dividing the number of deaths reported among cases less than one by all reported infant cases. Outbreak-related cases were identified using the NET's core outbreak-associated variable, which I've put there as a little insert. And proportions were calculated by dividing the total number of outbreak-related cases by all reported cases within each region. Only those cases with known outbreak status were used to calculate the outbreak-related proportions. So this graph illustrates the annual reported incidence in the pertussis incidence in the United States from 1990 through 2010. And the last peak in disease, as I'm sure you're all well aware, occurred during 2004 and 2005, but incidence rates have been rising since 2008. In 2010, the annual reported incidence rate of pertussis based on provisional data is about 6.9 cases per 100,000. However, the number of reported cases historically has increased approximately 30% between provisional and final data. And the dashed yellow line seen here illustrates the projected final 2010 annual incidence at approximately 9.2 per 100,000 cases, which would exceed rates observed during the 2004-2005 peak. And note that my remaining slides, however, will reflect data collected during both 2009 and 2010, and the overall two-year cumulative incidence was 12.43 during those times. So I'm sure you've seen this map before. This is a little bit different, though. It illustrates the two-year cumulative incidence by state during 2009 and 2010. And as shown here, disease was distributed across the United States, although not evenly, and there were dramatic differences in incidence observed by state. And some of you might be a little bit surprised that California is not included in the highest incidence range, which is denoted by red states. And it's important to remember that the 2010 data is not final at this point and that this map may look different once we have complete case counts available. So in contrast to the last map, this one illustrates the cumulative incidence by the 9 MMWR regions rather than by state. And in this map, you'll note that the highest regional incidence occurs in the central United States. And also note that the East Coast was dominated by low incidence during 2009 and 2010. And if we compare this map with the previous one, the regional trends are understandable. While the highest state incidence rates are relatively distributed, many of them actually hovered near the central portion of the United States. And although the regional delineations are somewhat arbitrary, it's helpful to view pertussis trends by geographic region. For comparison, this next map actually illustrates the two-year cumulative incidence by region during 2003 and 2004, which we're feeling is a somewhat comparable time period to this current 2009-2010 period. Note that the west-north-central region, again, has one of the highest regional incidences, while the South Atlantic region, again, has one of the lowest. While regional incidence does vary over time, these trends that I've just mentioned emerge repeatedly when this map is recreated for other two-year time frames in between 2003 and 2009. This graph just more simply illustrates the differences in reported pertussis incidence by region during 2009 and 2010. As you can see here, of the nine geographic regions, three, the east-north-central, west-north-central, and west-south-central regions, were above the national cumulative incidence of 12.43. Next, we looked at the total United States population contributed by each region and compared it to the percent of all reported cases that were contributed by each region. And the percent of the U.S. population contributed by region is illustrated in the yellow area, while the percent of all reported cases contributed by each region is shown by the red bars. Note that the regions are ordered on the x-axis by decreasing population. And while one might anticipate that the regions with the highest populations would report the greatest proportion of pertussis cases, this graph illustrates a lack of correlation between population size and proportion of reported cases. Next, we looked at age-specific incidence by region. And several trends emerged from this graph. All of the regions experienced the highest age-specific incidence among infants less than one, which is denoted by the red bars. And they also all had the lowest incidence among adults 20 years and older, which is the teeny tiny white bars seen on the far right in each region. All regions, with the except the mountain region, had the second highest incidence among 7 to 10-year-olds. And although overall trends by age group were similar in terms of which age groups experienced the highest and lowest incidence, the magnitude of the age-specific incidence differed across regions. And for instance, incidence among infants was 55 cases per 100,000 in New England versus 247 per 100,000 in the West South Central region. So as I noted, infants less than 1 year continue to experience the highest burden of disease in all regions. And next we looked at infant case fatality rates compared to incidence among those less than 1 year by region. And note that the geographic regions are ordered along the x-axis from highest to lowest incidence, as shown by the red line. Again, we might assume that regions with the highest infant with higher incidence among infants less than one would actually experience the highest infant case fatality rates, and this graph clearly indicates otherwise. In fact, those regions with the highest incidence among infants actually experience the lowest case fatality rates. And finally, we looked at the proportion of outbreak-related cases by region. So note that percent of cases that were outbreak-related was calculated using only those cases with known outbreak status for the denominator, and that comprised approximately 60% of all the reported cases received through NNDSS. The overall national proportion of outbreak-related cases was approximately 24%, and 6 of 9 regions exceeded that. With only 5% of their cases reported as outbreak-related, the Pacific region had the lowest regional proportion, while the mountain region reported the highest proportion at 39%. And when looking at the outbreak status of a case, it's important to remember that each state uses its own definition for what constitutes an outbreak, and this may vary significantly by state and region. So in summary, we found that pertussis incidence differed by state and MMWR region. However, trends in age-specific incidence were similar across regions, with infants experiencing the greatest burden of disease nationwide. While trends in age-specific incidence were similar, we did find some unexpected regional differences in pertussis epidemiology. Regions with large populations did not necessarily report the highest proportion of cases, and regions with high infant case fatality rates were not necessarily those reporting the highest incidence among infants less than one. And finally, the proportion of cases by region that were identified as outbreak-related varied significantly, which may be impacted by differences in outbreak definitions. So what can we infer from the data that we've just seen? Is it really safe to believe that there are significant differences in regional pertussis? Or are these variations possibly due to surveillance artifacts? We know that the capacity to do surveillance varies greatly across states and that transfer of data among local, regional, and state health departments can be very challenging. And differences in diagnostic testing, as well as the ability for providers to recognize pertussis, also significantly affect case identification and the burden of reported disease across states and regions. In addition to potential surveillance artifacts, other factors impact pertussis surveillance data quality and play a role in our understanding of regional trends in pertussis. The CST case definition provides a foundation for standardized reporting and interpretation of pertussis cases. And nationwide application of this definition is essential in order to understand the epidemiology of pertussis. Unfortunately, however, not all reported cases are coded according to the standard surveillance definition. And in fact, more than a quarter of the cases that we received during 2009 and 2010 were classified incorrectly based on available clinical, laboratory, and epidemiologic information. Furthermore, case data received at CDC is sometimes incomplete, making interpretation of the data very challenging for us. In particular, clinical data and vaccination history variables are often missing or unknown, which makes it difficult to utilize this information. And although CDC requests a standard list of pertussis variables for each case of pertussis reported, interpretation of those variables may vary significantly by region, state, and even local jurisdictions. What constitutes an outbreak case in one state may be in stark contrast to another state's definition. Thus, responses to identical questions may be based on very different interpretations within individual states. So despite these many challenges, national surveillance data does serve an important purpose. However, there are things that we can all do to help improve the data reported through NNDSS. Adherence to the CSD pertussis case definition is critical. Often, however, we're unable to determine whether a case truly meets the case definition because of lacking clinical information, and we're forced to rely on a state's case classification. We know that individual states sometimes employ their own case definitions, particularly for public health purposes, which we understand. But for national disease reporting, a strict adherence to the standard CST definition is essential. And from a reporting perspective, completion of key variables is vital. Complete clinical information, especially those elements associated with the CST pertussis case definition, are crucial to our understanding of the clinical picture of pertussis. In addition, information on vaccination history of pertussis cases is important to monitor the impact of the National Pertussis Vaccination Program. And while CDC has provided a list of requested variables for each case, as I mentioned earlier, states may interpret these variables very differently. And as part of the Emerging Infections Program Network, we're actually currently working with six states to conduct enhanced pertussis surveillance. And even within this small group, it's becoming apparent that there are some differences in how variables are interpreted. And although guidance does exist for some of the variables for the that are on the National Surveillance Form, CDC continues to work to make more comprehensive instructions available for states. To conclude, we've seen that regional differences in reported pertussis do occur. Challenges associated with surveillance data make understanding these differences difficult and leave us wondering to what extent reporting artifacts impact these variations. Efforts should focus on improving the quality of national pertussis surveillance data, and working together to improve the quality of pertussis data will be vital to improving our understanding of regional trends in disease, so that we can utilize pertussis surveillance data to make more informed decisions regarding programs and policies. And I'd like to acknowledge my coworkers at CDC. Thank you very much.